This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:36 in the morning. You're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana and Keith. It's the Friday, the 15th of July. And in about half an hour, we have the Breakfast Grill. Today is World Youth Skills Day. And to mark the occasion, I'll be speaking to Datuk Muhammad Khalis Abdul Rahim, Group Chief Human Capital Officer of Malaysia Aviation Group, and Professor Dr. Murali Rahman, Deputy Vice Chancellor of Academic Development and Strategy at the Asia Pacific University. We're going to be discussing whether we're equipping youth with the right skill sets to find jobs in this economy. As we know, in May, the youth unemployment rate hit 12.5% for those aged 15 to 24 years. This is disproportionately higher than the 3.9% overall unemployment rate. What can we do to solve this? We'll be discussing that with the panel. Stay tuned for that after the 8 a.m. news bulletin. But in the meantime, we are turning our attention to what's happening over in the Middle East. U.S. President Joe Biden is embarking on a four-day trip to the region this week, and it will culminate in his visit to Saudi Arabia today, where he is expected to appeal to Gulf oil producers to turn on the taps to quell soaring pump prices.
His visit comes 2 years after Biden deemed Saudi Arabia a pariah state. It was prompted by the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi that is said to be tied to Saudi Prince Mohammed bin Salman. Biden has also justified his visit as an exercise in realism, aiming to reorient but not rupture the relationship. But some may see it as the leader having to eat humble pie amid record U.S. gasoline prices and global tensions arising from the current war in Ukraine.
However, even some experts are skeptical that Biden can secure the boost in oil outputs that he seeks, with Gulf countries reporting tight capacity. So what outcomes can be expected from the visit, and how might this impact Biden's fortunes ahead of the midterm U.S. elections? For analysis on what's at stake for Biden and Middle East geopolitics, we speak to Dr. James Dorsey, Senior Fellow at the Middle East Institute at the National University of Singapore. James, good morning. Thanks for joining us. What is U.S. President Joe Biden's mission for this Middle East trip? You know, what exactly is he seeking to achieve?
I think it's threefold. One is, as you mentioned in your introduction, reduced oil prices and increased oil production, which is going to be difficult to achieve. The second is Iran. And the third is a more integrated, to the degree possible, Israeli-Arab defense system that would lower the or compensate for a rejiggered commitment by the United States to the defense of the Gulf, putting some of that responsibility on the shoulders of the Gulf of the Middle Eastern states themselves, so that the United States can focus on Russia and China. The problem is that all of this is not what is the main concern for American voters. And at this point, that is Biden's most immediate problem.
So all eyes are on Biden's visit to Saudi Arabia today. And this, I mean, he did call it a pariah state at one point because of Khashoggi's murder. And this is seen as a bit of a, quite a stark U-turn. How much of a photo op will there be between Joe Biden and Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman? How could this hurt the president on the domestic front?
I don't know that this is going to hurt him on the domestic front, even though there's Saudi Arabia's image in the United States, particularly not only in the White House, but also on Capitol Hill in the Congress, is severely tarnished. As a matter of principle, this is a humiliating trip. How humiliating is it going to be, and how important is the photo op going to be, is going to depend on whether or not he gets something real in return from the Saudis. And that's not immediately clear that he will. It's not clear that the Saudis are able to significantly increase oil production to a degree that it would really impact in the short term oil prices. It's also not clear that the Saudis are willing to, for example, establish full diplomatic relations with Israel at this point. So we're going to have to wait and see. Humiliating, yes. The question is how, to what degree.
You said humiliating. He's already suffering a 30% approval rating, one of the worst for any U.S. presidents. How much worse can it get for him?
Well, another 30% in theory. I think the problem, of course, is that he is confronting multiple crises. The rate of inflation, higher prices, higher energy prices is, of course, not simply a question of a wrong economic policy. On the contrary, perhaps, that is a function of a global crisis and the Russian invasion of Ukraine. But he is the sitting president, and therefore it happens on his bill, and he carries the responsibility. So he's probably going to have a very rough midterm election in November for Congress, and he could find that he may have a very tough presidential election in 2024.
Mm. Does Biden or the U.S. have any leverage in dealing with Saudi Arabia on this, or does the situation favor Saudi Arabia?
I think both parties have leverage, but the United States does have leverage on several levels. The U.S., the Saudis can jump up and down. They can buy weapons from China, what have you. Neither Russia nor China is willing or able to replace the United States as a security guarantor. In fact, given the Russian performance on the Ukrainian battlefield, I'm not sure that the Saudis would really want the Russians as their security guarantor. So they really only have one address, given, particularly given that they're not capable of defending themselves. Look at their own performance in the Yemeni war. So the United States does have leverage. Moreover, the Saudis buy, for example, buy drones from the Chinese, not because they're cheaper, not because they're equal quality, they're not, but because the United States will not sell its most advanced drones to Saudi Arabia. Mm. So with other words, yes, the United States does have leverage. The question is whether Biden can use that leverage in a way that really advances things. Hmm.
And another thing you mentioned was that Iran is going to be one of the key issues of Biden's Middle East visit. What does this visit bode for Iran and the nuclear deal? How do you expect this to play out?
Well, I think I'm not sure that the visit itself is going to influence the negotiations to revive the 2015 international agreement that that curbed Iran's nuclear program and from which the United States under Donald Trump walked away. What I do think it does is it makes it, it basically says Iran is the problem, and curbing Iran is a security issue and has to be dealt with as a security issue. What it doesn't do is recognize that everybody in the Middle East has security concerns, including Iran. And that as long as those security concerns are not addressed, the hostility and the threat that Iran poses is only going to remain, and it will see a more integrated Middle Eastern defense system as a threat to its own security.
Mm-hmm. And where will the Russia-Ukraine geopolitical drama play out in this?
I think there's no doubt about it, of course. First of all, Saudi Arabia has very good relations with Russia. It is tied to Russia, certainly with regard to OPEC and OPEC Plus, with other words, the non-OPEC oil producers, of which Russia is the most important one. And the Saudis have made it very clear that they do not want to rupture the relationship. The problem for the Saudis is that increasingly, and that will be clear as the Ukraine war goes on, it's going to be with us, or we're going to be in a world of with us or against us. And therefore, hedging your bets and trying to walk a middle line is going to become increasingly difficult, particularly if you don't have the fig leaf of, for example, trying to negotiate solutions between Russia and Ukraine, as is, for example, happening being done by Turkey and what has been done by Israel or attempted by Israel in the past.
James, thanks very much for speaking to us. That was Dr. James Dorsey, Senior Fellow at the Middle East Institute of the National University of Singapore, giving us an overview of expectations for President Joe Biden's visit to the Middle East, painting a very difficult situation for the president in terms of what he's trying to achieve. I think, I'm not sure that expectations are very high that anything significant will come out of this visit.
And he did point out to the fact that it could be a humiliating situation for Biden, especially back home. And with the midterms coming up in just a few months' time as well, I mean, his approval rating is, like, if I remember correctly, it's about 35%.
All right, lots to watch here. I think we'll be looking to see the outcome of what happens in Saudi Arabia. We'll keep you posted on what happens. 7:46 in the morning, we're heading into some messages. And when we come back, we'll discuss further roadblocks in the foreign labor movement to Malaysia. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.